You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
All right, Hebrews 13. Turn there, if you will. We're just basically closing out the book of Hebrews. I love Hebrews because that just is a mandate from God for men to make coffee. Now, you're not listening. You didn't get it. Hebrews. Okay. And we've just taken this verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and some chapters we've taken a little longer than other chapters, and some chapters, most of them, we just went through one session, one chapter, but got a little bogged down Hebrews 11. It took us six sessions to get through Hebrews 11, and I think we got through 12 and one or two, or maybe two. Chapter 13, this is the second one. We're going to finish it out, though. In the name of Jesus, I am believing that we're going to finish this out. It's been a great study. Hebrews is about the superiority of Jesus, about Jesus being all that the Old Testament prophesied, about Him fulfilling all those scriptures, about Him doing all they couldn't do. He's better than Moses. He did what Moses couldn't do. He's better than Aaron, the priesthood, the Levitical priesthood. We have a better priest and a better priesthood built on better promises with a better covenant, with a better sacrifice, and a better hope. Hallelujah. Amen. And God, who at sundry times, it starts out in that first chapter, first verse, in various ways and spoke to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son, or in His Son, or in Son. It's hard to translate in the Greek because it doesn't speak well in English, but what God's saying is His Son is not just how God is speaking. His Son is not just what God is speaking. His Son is God speaking. So Jesus is how God speaks, Jesus is what God's speaking, and Jesus is God speaking. So Jesus didn't bring us a message, Jesus is the message. He is the Word made flesh, as John tells us in the Gospel of John, 1 chapter 14 verse. He is the prophecies, the words made flesh dwelling among us. And we saw Him, we saw the Son of God. And when He declared the Father, no one declared the Father like Jesus. Nobody, as the old Andre Crouch song, can't nobody do me like Jesus, can't nobody do me like the Lord. Amen? Amen. No prophet, no Jeremiah, no Ezekiel, no Daniel, no Moses, no Peter, no Paul, and I love them all, can do what Jesus did. Jesus came as God and man and paid the price for our sins and declared to us the Father. Hallelujah. And He is the ultimate key to interpreting the Bible. He is what the Bible is all about. It all points to Him. And the Bible is only the Word of God to the extent that it takes you to Him. Because if you never get to Him, you don't have it. You have a philosophy. You may have a religion. You may have some moral teaching, some truth, as it were, but you don't have the whole truth, nothing but the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So He's the truth of God. Think about it. He's the essence of God. He's the crux of God. He's the base, the core of all that God is. He's how you interpret the Bible. He's if you want the true meaning of Scripture, you have to go to the truth, which is Him, Jesus. And through Him, we have the truth. Amen. And if you can't lay it at Jesus' feet and make sense of it, then you need to throw it out because Jesus makes sense of it all. Oh, listen, there's truths, as it were, in all religions. There's some truth in Buddhism. There's some truth in the Islamic faith. There's some truth there. It's not all bad. Stay with me. There's some truth in Mormonism. There's some truth in all kinds of religions. We don't, as Christians, have to believe that all religions are all wrong all the way through. There's some truth in all religions. But the whole truth is only in Christianity. I don't believe Buddhists are all wrong. I do believe they need Jesus as Lord and Savior. I believe those that never heard Jesus, God will judge somehow. God's a fair and a just God. He has to figure all that out. You don't have to figure it out. Don't think about it. Can't figure all that out. Are you with me? But I do believe that Christianity has all the truths. The whole truth, nothing but the truth. And we've proved it over and over and over and over. Amen? And the more and more you get in the Word, the more you find that out. Jesus is what it's all about. It's what Hebrews tells us. And He is superior. He's far better. And He paid the price. He wasn't a religious teacher. He wasn't a Buddha or a Muhammad or a Moses. He doesn't fall in that category. You see, Moses brought us a good word. Buddha brought a good word too. He had a big time. He had a cholesterol problem. He laughed a lot. But I mean, there's some truths in all these great leaders, but see, Jesus wasn't like a leader like that. We didn't need a better teacher to teach us. We didn't need a better guide to guide us along life's way. We didn't even need a better example to follow. We needed a Savior to save us from our sins. Moses didn't die for your sins. Muhammad didn't die for your sins. Buddha didn't die for your sins. See, they were just like us. But Jesus died for our sins. We needed a Savior. They weren't saviors. They were religious leaders and teachers. But Jesus is unique. Think about it. He doesn't fall in that category. His mission was to die. That's what he came to do. He told his disciples that. He said, they're going to kill me. 3 days later, I'm going to rise from the dead. No man takes my life from me. I lay it down of myself, and I will raise it up again. And he did. And no religious leader ever said, I'm God. Buddha didn't say it. Muhammad didn't say it. They'd have killed Muhammad, and they'd kill Moses too if he'd said that. But Jesus said, I am God. He said, I and the Father are one. And he also said, before Abraham was, I am. Think about it. And he said, he didn't say, follow my teaching and follow my way. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. So that's a little different. He's not like another. You can't just put him in the category of other religions and other religious teachers. He doesn't fit that mold. He didn't come for that purpose. He came as God, God becoming a man to die for our sins and rise again, that you and I might be saved. Hallelujah, somebody. So we can go to heaven, to that place that Brenda talked about where they're singing and dancing in that land. Woo! You know the song, don't you? Singing and dancing in that land. Singing and dancing in that land. Singing and dancing in that land where I'm bound. Ain't no crying in that land. Ain't no dying in that land. In that land where I'm bound. Come on, you know the song, don't you? Never heard it, okay. Well, you probably didn't hear it exactly the way it sung just then either, but I did my best, okay. 13th chapter of Hebrews, let's get through this, okay. 13th chapter of Hebrews, starting in the, we wound up in the 15th verse there and ended up with that. Therefore, by him, by Jesus, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Everybody say sacrifice of praise. So we have a different kind of covenant now. We don't bring lambs, bulls, goats and slay them and don't let the blood run down the altar here. That covenant was fulfilled in Christ. He was the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He shed his blood and sat down on the right hand of God forever making good our eternal redemption or salvation. Hebrews talks about that and we've gone over and over that. So we don't do that. There's nothing you can pay. There's nothing you can, you can't bribe God. You can't buy God. You can't, you know, there's nothing you can bring. The only thing you can bring is the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of your lips, giving thanks to his name. And that's important. That's why worship is important. We make a lot of worship in our church. I think that's real important because we get our focus right. We know who we're honoring, who we're, see, I'm not the show, star. There's a star in this show. His name's Jesus. I'm not it, and the worship team's not it, and youth minister's not it, and right on down the list, we just name people. Jesus is it, and we worship him. We worship him, and we bring him sacrifices of praise. Sometimes it is a sacrifice. Sometimes you don't feel like doing it. Sometimes you've had a bad day, bad week, tragedy in your life, sadness in your life, life's full of tragedy. But see, there is a sacrifice that you can bring to God. You can lift your hands. You can lift your voice. You can honor him. You can praise him. You can worship him, and those sacrifices are acceptable and well-pleasing in God's sight. And it is what we bring. Really, this is a covenant of words, as it were. I come to God and make a confession. That's how I get saved. I confess Jesus as Lord and Savior. I don't bring bulls and goats and lambs. No, no. There has been a lamb slain for my house and your house and everybody's house. His name's Jesus. All I can do is enter into that contract or that covenant with my mouth. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Jesus says that if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. So it's a covenant of words. It's a covenant of confession. I'm reminded of Isaiah 59:21 says, this is the covenant that I will make with them in those days, says the Lord. My word, which I have put in your mouth, my spirit which I have placed upon you, my words which I have placed in your mouth shall not depart out of your mouth, nor out of the mouth of your seed your children, nor out of the mouth of your seed your grandchildren. From henceforth and forevermore, says the Lord. The covenant we have is a covenant of words. I mean, what I examine and what I bring to God are my prayers and my confession and my praises and my worship. And he takes that and he offers it to the Father. And my prayers are like an incense, an aroma going up into heaven. The Bible says the prayers of the saints are like incense. And either they're acceptable or they're not acceptable. Sacrifices can be rejected if they don't meet the criteria. So you ought to watch what you say and watch what you pray. Yeah. Because that's your sacrifice. That's what you bring to God. Amen. How do you make sure it's right? Well, line it up with the Word. Examine it to make sure it doesn't have a spot or wrinkle in it. Come on now. That's better preaching. Y'all are amening. Am I going to start singing again? Okay, anyway. So it says, therefore, by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. But do not forget to do good and share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Here's another thing we can do is help each other, love each other, and share with each other those that are in need. That's a sacrifice to God.
Amen.
See, you really can't serve God without serving each other. You can't love God without loving each other.
That's right. That's right.
The Bible very plain says, if you love me, love your brethren. The man says he loves God and hates his brother's a liar. That doesn't mean we have to like each other. I won't let you off the hook here. Stay with me. But we do have to love each other. Are you kidding? I mean, we all have our little quirks, our little personality differences and so on, so little things you do different than I do. You know, we rub shoulders sometimes and the fur gets turned the wrong way. Brother Osteen, you said if the cat gets the fur turned the wrong way, let the cat turn around. Sometimes you have to just get over it. But we're committed to love each other. And same way in marriage. I mean, you know, marriage is, there's no perfect marriage. There's not every single day, all day long, you're just perfect. I mean, sometimes you get a little upset. There's offenses and so on and so forth. And, you know, that's why Brent and I get along so well. She's so repentant and I'm so forgiving. Yeah, well, I always heard that we had a strange and a wonderful relationship. Brent is wonderful. I'm kind of strange. Anyway. But you just have to forgive each other. You have to love each other and go on. Are you with me?
Amen.
That's just life. That life's like that. I mean, you have to work those things out. You're committed to love. You're committed to share with each other and help each other. I know you're wanting to go on rather quickly here. Okay. The next verse says this, 17th verse, obey those who have the rule over you. This is my favorite verse in the Bible. No, I'm not a dictator. I can't be a dictator. That's wrong. The Bible says I'm not a lord over God's flock. But I am a leader. I am those. I do have rule over you in the sense of I bring the Word of God to you.
Amen.
He says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch over your souls.
Yeah.
They watch over your souls. In fact, if you'll back up in the 7th verse, same chapter, it says, remember those who have the rule over you, who have spoken the Word of God to you. So that's what he's talking about. I am as a minister, a leader, and an example. And I do have authority in a church setting. I don't have authority over your life and your home and your marriage and so on and so forth. But I do set the pace, the vision in the church. And that has to come from where the Word comes from. And so in this church setting, I'm not a dictator. No, we talk. We pray about things. I mean, I have two elders, Ron and Mo, that we meet and talk about, go over all the finances, talk about the projection of the church and where we're going, and where I'm open to anybody in the church. We talk about things all the time. I mean, there's all kinds of things we change, but we have to stay with a certain flow and a certain vision. We can't have 1,500 visions. We can't have 50 visions. We can't even have 2 visions, because then we'd be pulling at each other. Tommy works with the youth, but the youth is really part of the church. We've got an overcomers outreach, but you know, that's part of the church too. And when it becomes separate from the church, then it becomes its own church. That's why really it's not even a correct term. We use the term children's church, but that's not really true. There's just one church. There's International Outreach Church. Are you with me? And there's First Baptist Church. There's Methodist. Don't twist what I'm saying. But within the church, we have ministries. But we have the same vision. And it says here, I didn't say it. It says, remember those who rule over you, 7th verse. Everybody say, remember.
Remember.
Don't forget me. Especially when you pray it, amen? Remember me. And then, listen to this, hard word. Don't like to hear this in this century that we live in, this age that we live in. 17th verse, obey those who have the rule over you. You know, sometimes I sense we need to do something, and I sense that you need to quit doing something. And we don't always agree. But we've got to go forward. And to go forward, we've got to go with some decision. And if I'm wrong, pray for me. We're not talking about immoral things. We're not talking about impropriety. We're not talking about misusing funds. And that's understood. That's wrong. Call me to, you know, to line on any of that. But we're talking about direction and vision. Well, you know, I have to have a vision as the leader, the one up here all the time preaching and teaching, and hopefully it flows with the majority of people and so on and so forth. But sometimes there's going to be a difference. Just trust me, pray for me, and let's go on. Amen? Thank you for those four people that said amen. I appreciate that. And then sometimes even in teaching, I mean with Tommy even, or the children's church, or the ushers, a lot of times I will come and say, hey, I think we need to do this, or Tommy will say something, and I may not agree. It's no big deal. I just think we ought to go somewhere else with this. Because I've really prayed about it, because I really feel as the whole, the church as a whole, needs it to go a certain direction. See, that's what happens. You get in one little compartment, and you sometimes can't see the whole. I'm not saying that about Tommy. I just use Tommy's example because I know he could take it. Sometimes as a whole, it doesn't fit the whole, and we need to kind of go another direction with this. That's when you have to say, okay, whatever, Pastor, we'll go for it. We'll do that. Hello. Man, there's friction in any setting, a church setting, a business setting, a family setting, where people have to make decisions, and you have to learn to trust each other. Remember, obey.
Yes.
Amen. That's not like a dictator. I mean, come on. If I start, you know, I'm a shepherd, not a sheepdog. A sheepdog barks at the flock. A shepherd leads. If I asked you to do something I wouldn't do, you don't have to follow that. Are you kidding? What are you talking about? And if you can find in a word where I'm wrong, let's straighten it out. Well, you don't have to do anything that the word says. If I tell you to do something the word does not say, you have to obey the word. Amen. That help you?
Yes.
Okay. These things may be said. They're in here for a purpose. They had the same people back then we have today. Maybe 2,000 years ago, people had the same issues and the same problem. That's why you have so many mavericks and so many split churches. People get mad. They don't want to obey, and they just take off. Sometimes you do have bad leaders. That's true. But you don't have one here. In fact, you're never going to go to another church. You have anybody as nice as I am. I'm the nicest pastor you'll ever meet. You don't believe that? We'll go out back and talk about that too. So, anyway. No, I love you. I watch over your soul. I love you. I pray for you. And I want the best for you. You know, I'm not. It's not about me. It's about the kingdom. It's about what God wants. And I hope I've proved that 25 years. Our family's proved that. Are you with me? Are we perfect? No, of course not. Are we going to make you mad? You bet we're going to make you mad. You're going to make me mad. We're going to have to get over it. That's just life. You just have to get through those things. Most of them are just little bitty things anyway. We just make mountains out of them, and they're just little molehills, you know. Okay. I'm going to get through this. Okay. Obey those who have the rule over you. Be submissive, for they watch over your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy, not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Pray for us. That's what Paul said. For we are confident that... We're confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably or honestly, the King James says. I want to live honorably and I want to live honestly before you. I should have a good report of those that are without. And my family should reflect that. My family should be an example of my teaching and my living my life for God in my home. God forbid that you're just a Sunday Christian. I hope you live for God all week long. And I tell you what's going to show up. It's going to show up in your kids.
Right.
Not say they can't mess up. They can. But they'll come back if you believe and trust. And... Amen?
Amen?
Okay. And if your kids have strayed away, well, you can still believe for them. You can still pray. You can start today. It's a new day. Amen? Start believing. So he says, I want to live honorably and honestly. I especially urge you, 19th verse, to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Isn't this something the writer of Hebrews is saying, that he knows their prayers mean something. They count. And let me tell you something, your prayers count. They mean something. What you say and what you pray concerning this church or me or each other makes a difference. And so you ought to be positive about a church. And if you can't, move on down the road and get in another church. Find somewhere you can grow, somewhere you can commit, somewhere you can pool your gifts and your talents and your prayers and your faith and your finances, and let's get on with the business of serving God. Amen?
Amen.
Don't stay in a church if you're just going to be critical all the time. Hello. Find somewhere you can get there and you can go with it. Amen? But don't just get out. Don't just get out altogether. No, God didn't call us to be lone rangers. He called us to serve together.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And we can make a difference. I'm telling you what, I think about what we've done here at International Outreach Church. I'm just happy to be here. I'm so happy to be. I think of all that we've done for God. God's done through us. Not a one of us could have done that. Not a one of us could have done it. But we got together, and we caught the vision, and we stayed with the stuff, and we joined arms. We prayed. Went through some tough times. Went through some battles. That's okay. But we kept going. We kept our face like a flint. We're going to see the glory of God. We're going to see the power of God. We're going to see the anointing of God. We're going to make a difference. We're going to make a change. And, you know, here we are. I look at all that's gone on. And it's because of people that committed to each other. It's because of people who trusted God. All of us. Every one of us. Whether you've been coming a year or 6 months or 25 years. It took all of us to get to this point, to this day. And don't you ever let the devil tell you you don't count. You count. Your prayers count. Yes. The writer of Hebrews is saying, look, pray for us, that I may come to you the sooner. He coveted their prayers because he knew everybody counted and everybody's prayer meant something. And agreement is a powerful thing. You get people in agreement. You get a church in unity. See, that's when the Spirit fell. They're all in one accord in one place in the day of Pentecost, and the Spirit came in like a rushing mighty wind. Psalms 133 says, oh, how good and how pleasant is it for the brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the dew from heaven. It's like the oil on Aaron's beard that flows down to the feet. It's the anointing. There, God commanded the blessing. There where unity was. Oh, it's a wonderful thing. Amen. So, he goes on and says this, 20th verse. Now may the God of peace... May the God of peace, the God of peace. You know, I think six times in the New Testament, God's called the God of peace. God of peace, God of peace. You need peace? I know where you can get it. You can get it from God. You may not get it in your situation, but you can get it from God. You may not get it from what's going on, but see, peace doesn't come from what's going on. It doesn't even come from what you have. It's not going to come when you get that car. It's not going to come when you get that house. It's not going to come when you get that raise. And I believe in races. I believe in cars and I believe in houses. I live in one and I drive one. Hello? I believe in all that. I think you ought to pray and believe God to bless you. I think that's great. That's wonderful. God is into prospering us. But see, peace doesn't come from that. Peace comes from God. It is the God of peace that brings us peace. Hallelujah. You know, Romans is called him God of peace. 2 Corinthians calls him God of peace. Philippians calls him God of peace. Remember Philippians 4:7 says, be careful, fretful, anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. The 9th verse says, and those things which you have learned and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. I love that. We have a God who is a God of peace. In fact, you're not really at peace till you get with Him. It is Peter that said this, may grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you want peace multiplied to you, you're going to get it through the knowledge of God. That's where you're going to get it. You don't get it from this world. In fact, you can find all there is to know about your situation in the world. That's not going to bring you peace. Your peace is going to come from the knowledge of God, from what God says. You know, Paul didn't open not even one of his epistles did he open up. Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, 1st, 2nd Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, and Titus, Philemon. Every single one of his epistles, he opened up by saying, grace and peace be to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Every single one of them. That was like how he said, hello, how are you? You know, often people say, how are you? I'll say, too blessed to be stressed, too anointed to be disappointed, you know, blessed by the best and so on. But Paul would always say, grace and peace be to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Every single epistle he wrote, he opened up. Epistle is a letter. Brother Olson used to always say epistle. He used to think epistle was a wife and apostle. But actually, it's just a letter. God's God of peace, amen? And it says, now may the God of peace who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, hallelujah, somebody. Jesus is alive. Listen, Muhammad died, Buddha died, Moses died, and it won't be old Buddha sitting on the throne. It's not going to be Muhammad calling you home. the tomb is empty and Jesus is alive.
Amen.
God raised him from the dead, praise God. Because he lives, we live.
Yes.
Woo! There was no grave that could hold his body down. And as that old song says, there ain't no grave going to hold my body down. One day I'm coming out of that grave, hallelujah. And when I die, I'm going straight to heaven. Woo! Okay. Excuse me for getting stirred up. Okay. So he says, now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. We just had communion this morning. Just celebrated Jesus' death, burial, and his resurrection. Honored him and the body that was broken for our healing and the blood that was shed for our salvation. Well, that's what happened. It's the blood of the covenant. We have a blood covenant. Sealed in blood. Sealed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That blood's on the altar. It's on the mercy seat of heaven. Not in the tabernacle made with hands, but in the real tabernacle in heaven.
Amen.
In the holiest of holies, where God lives. So he says this. He goes on and says, may he, this God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, may he make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. If he raised Jesus from the dead, he can work in you. If he raised Jesus up from the dead, he's able to work a good work in you. How am I going to do it? By the grace of God, you're going to do it. How am I going to overcome all this? You're going to overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of his testimony. I think of this verse, and I think it's interesting. You still have a will. God's not going to just automatically work a good work in you if you don't choose it, if you don't believe it, if you don't live it, if you don't walk it. But if you'll make the choice and you'll step out there, he'll work it in you. You still have a will. He doesn't make it happen without your choice involved. But if you choose, he will work a good work in you. He won't work a bad work in you. He only works a good work in you. If you want to be bad, you're on your own. If you want to be good, God will help you. If you want to serve the flesh and the devil, sorry, God's checking out of that deal. But if you want to serve God and be like Jesus, he's going to show up. And he's going to show out. See, the Bible says, Psalms 37, verse 23, says the steps of a good man are ordered to the Lord. Not everybody's steps are ordered by God, but the steps of a good man are. So if you decide to be good, if you make the choice, if you decide I'm going to give this my best shot, I'm going to serve God, I'm going to turn over a new leaf as it were, I'm going to do better, well, God will show up and he'll help you. Because the Lord will perfect that thing which concerneth you, Psalms 138, verse 8. He will perfect that thing which concerns you. If you choose it. He won't perfect it if you don't choose it. But if you choose it, he'll perfect it. And he'll perfect every good work in you, not any bad one, but he'll perfect any good one you start.
Amen.
And perform his will.
Amen.
Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he that's begun a good work in me will perfect it until that day. He's begun a good work, and he'll perfect it as long as I stay on that path. See, so stay on the path. Pick yourself back up. You may fall, but that's okay. In fact, I quoted Psalms 37:23. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Though he fall, it goes on to say, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his right hand. Ooh, I love that.
Mm.
Don't everybody shout at once just because I'm preaching good. Woo! Okay, so God's going to perfect what concerns us if we'll choose it. And every good work to do his will, he'll work in us. 22nd verse says, and I appeal to you, brethren, bear with the word of exhortation, for I have written to you in few words. Everybody say, word of exhortation. You know, the Bible is always to exhort you. It's always to charge you. It's to build you. It's to make you better. If you'll listen to it, if you'll bear with it, if you'll yield to it. If you don't yield to it, you don't bear with it, it's not going to help you. James said in James 1:22, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. You come to church to find out what to do. Bottom line is all knowledge has one goal or outcome, and that is action. We get this information to live. We get this information to act it out. Amen? And so God loves you, and he's for you. He wants to help you, but see, you've got to obey. You've got to take the instruction and run with it. You've got to love each other. You've got to love your wife, love your husband. Oh, yeah, you're going to have to do it. I'm sorry, that's the way it is. This is not all abstract. You know, it's not all out. This is concrete, solid, where the rubber meets the road information. Very practical advice. But if you will commit, God will show up. And He'll help you. Amen? So He says this. 22nd verse, I'm closing out. We're going to make it. That's wonderful. 22nd verse, and I appeal to you, brethren, here. Bear with the word. Bear with the word of exhortation. For I have written to you in few words. Know that our brother Timothy has been set free, hallelujah, with whom I shall see you if he comes shortly. Greet all those who rule over you. I think that's interesting. It's three times in this one chapter he talked about those that rule over you. He said, remember them. He said, obey them. And he said, greet them. You had better wave at me if I see you on the street. All right, I'm going to bring this scripture. I'm going to let you look at it and read it to me. So, salute, greet, honor. That's what he was saying, greet them. Be friendly, you know. Amen? Just don't walk the other way when you see me coming. Please, for my sake, don't do that. Remember me. Obey me and greet me. Okay, greet all those who rule over you and all the saints. Those from Italy greet you, which tells us one thing. From Italy. Everybody say from Italy. Now you can't come back from anywhere you haven't already been. This is profound. And when you get there you are. So evidently, this was written from Italy. This is a little insight. I mean, you don't need a big scholar or commentary to tell you that. He says those from Italy greet you. So he must have been in Italy, probably Rome, whoever wrote Hebrews, and wrote it from there. Because he was telling you for them and from them we greet you. He says, greet all those who rule over you and all the saints. Those from Italy greet you. And he ends up this way. I love this because, boy, what a way to close. Grace be with you all. Amen. Not law. Not condemnation. Not judgment. But grace be with you all. Which, a couple things. We understand, first of all, that it is grace that we're saved by grace you're saved. That not of works, that any man should boast. But also the writer of Hebrews was from Texas because he said, you all. I like that. Anyway, grace be with you all. Amen, which means so be it. Let it be. Hallelujah. Grace be with you all.